UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for Fast Break Friday on The V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
As Nick moves, microphones are on us. Welcome into Fast Break Friday here on ESPN 680 105.7. This is The V Show. I am not Bobby V, unfortunately, for anybody listening for those beautiful dulcet tones. This is Jason Entz, co-host of the UK Football and Basketball Post-Game Show. I am in here with the UK luminary, Mr. Mike Pratt. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good, Jason, good.
How was your Thanksgiving?
I've got the right mic.
Yeah, we're trying to figure that out. Nick's moving us around here.
Okay, all right.
It wouldn't be the V Show without a mic mishap to start. I feel comfortable already.
I'll tell you what, Nick is really good when it comes to Fast Break Friday.
It is. He is.
Yeah, he's perfect when Fast Break Fridays.
And it looks like Nick's going to have to go under the table. This is something I've never witnessed. I've heard about the going under the table thing quite a bit. Never gotten to witness it.
Yeah, lucky you.
How was your Thanksgiving,
Jason,
Mike?
You know, he's a hockey player.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
what does that mean?
It means you're used to adapting on the fly.
Yeah,
that's right.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was good. It was very little action on Thanksgiving, and got to watch a lot of hoops, a lot of football. Got my walk in. Got four straight days of walking. I took today off. I'll be back tomorrow. It's all good so far. I mean, Cats get a W tonight. They get a W tomorrow. Life is good.
I like that outlook. I'm still kind of torn. I've been going back and forth all week about tomorrow, and obviously we'll break down the Governor's Cup here on the show today. We'll also get into some UK basketball against UAV tonight. We'll get into U of L against Western this afternoon in a game that if U of L wins, they'll be ranked number one in the country come Monday.
Nick is
on one today. Nick, obviously Nick Valvano behind the glass working the board today. We will have obviously some texts coming in. You can give us a shout on the text line at 437-9680. We'll get to those. If you want to give us a call, you can do so at 502-267-9680. I need your input. And I probably need Nick's input as well, because I enjoyed Thanksgiving. I had fun with the family. You know, got together with everybody. Everybody's healthy. That's always something to be thankful for. But I'm a little spoiled when it comes to the holidays. My mom is a chef. She was a chef for the governor of Kentucky for 7 years. So I grew up Thanksgiving.
You're very spoiled, man.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter were the greatest holidays ever, because you'd get, you know, all kinds of food, more than you could ever eat. You'd gain 20 pounds before you went home that day. You'd go home with enough leftovers to eat for a week. My aunt did Thanksgiving this year, which I love my aunt, and she normally cooks really well, great food. I get over there yesterday, all excited and ready for some turkey, some mashed potatoes and gravy, some stuffing. There's no turkey. There's no turkey on Thanksgiving. I'm like, okay, there's ham. All right, well, we'll enjoy some ham then. And then I go and get the mashed potatoes, and there's no gravy. Ooh. And I don't know what to think about this.
I'm not a mashed potato guy, but if you're going to have them, you got to have gravy.
You got to smother everything in gravy on Thanksgiving. I mean, if you're going to have stuffing, you got to have some gravy on it. I don't know if I'm like shouldn't be upset or a little bit perturbed, or if this is a party foul.
All right, Ham's a little bit – all right, my mom's gone a little crazy. First off, if one of you guys wants to talk into that first mic, that'd be fantastic. The one that's right there, right in front. I want to make sure I fixed it.
Have you got that?
Still not.
Not.
Okay. There's something else then. That's beyond my pay grade. Okay. Ham, I always think, is more of a Christmas dish. Like, you have a Christmas ham.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but my mom's been kind of crazy, and we do the Italian thing, which is just make way too much food. And literally, we counted it. Our Thanksgiving dinner, we're doing it Sunday because everyone was in a million different directions yesterday.
So it's going to be at your house on Sunday.
I mean, there's going to be enough food because there's going to be 10 courses. It's going to be 10. So 11 if you kind of count like the nuts and berries you eat afterwards. So it's like an Italian thing. So it's going to be turkey, ham, and pasta. Maybe pork tenderloin instead of ham. So mom goes a little crazy, but typically it's one meat or the other. And I do think that ham is an acceptable substitute for turkey, but I always associate ham as more of a Christmas thing. And regardless, there needs to be gravy. You're not going to have turkey. You need to have the gravy for the mashed potatoes at the very least.
And the stuffing.
And the stuffing.
Here's a quick question. I might put a Fan Outfitters Twitter poll up. Is it stuffing or is it dressing?
It's stuffing.
That's what I thought, but evidently, like, other places, they call it dressing. Like, I think Northern...
Those other places are called Russia.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, I've heard both. I mean, yeah, I haven't been to Russia yet, but I've heard both. Now, we're
Mike's well,
our,
well-traveled, so he would know.
We're having our Thanksgiving Sunday, too. We're having beef tenderloin. Okay.
Ooh.
Beef tenderloin. We're not going the Italian route like you, Nick.
I like your style.
But
can we stagger these meals so that I can attend both?
Yeah, like absolutely.
The Pratt one, like lunch, and the Valvano one, mid afternoon through about midnight.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Just remember.
What time are you eating on Sunday?
I think we're going to start about 3 or 4.
Yeah, we're starting at 4 too.
Yeah, and then it'll probably go for the rest of the day.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, just bring me some leftovers Monday.
Oh, I got
and
you,
I'll
man.
Come by here and pick it up.
Have you ever done the leftover sandwich where you put literally every leftover on a sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
I did that one time.
Who hasn't?
Right? Well, no, I mean, no. Mm. Every single thing.
Not everything. But.
So the gravy, all the gabagool left over from the antipasto, the ravioli, the ham. See, the key is to have the two different potatoes layer the sandwich. It kind of glues it all together. You have sweet potatoes on the top, mashed potatoes on the bottom.
And what does Vitality think of all this?
They think that you can go off the rails a little bit, and they'll get you right back on. They understand. They want you to eat and have fun, but, you know, they'll make sure you're healthy the whole way. And a lot of that stuff is healthy. Now, it's not on my list of acceptable foods to eat, but it's relatively healthy.
Well, sweet potatoes are healthy. I don't like sweet potatoes cooked like baked potatoes. I like them like sweet potato fries.
Yeah, ooh, sweet potato fries are fabulous. Yeah,
sweet potatoes are one food that I need to try more. I've only had them like once or twice and wasn't a big fan, but maybe, like you said, maybe I had them mashed, so they weren't the greatest.
Yeah, I'm not
maybe
a fan of that either.
Maybe I need to do them roasted or something.
Well, you need to do them either roasted or french fry.
Well, you know what?
One of the two.
You know what? I'll come over on Sunday and you can make some for me.
All right. Yeah, we'll cut them up. You know, you can make your own french fries, right? Just get the potato,
right.
Cut it up, cook it, put a little oil on it, a little seasoning, bake it. Hey, you got the great fry without the deep fryer. You can do that.
And that is relatively healthy. You guys pro marshmallows or anti marshmallows on your sweet potatoes?
Well,
I'm pro marshmallows on anything.
Marshmallows on my sweet potato fries. No.
Oh, okay. That's right. Well, I've seen like a marshmallow. Like they make like a marshmallow like dipping sauce like for sweet potato fries.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, that's fair.
This is not helping my diet at all.
And some seasoning, and put them in a bag and shake it up.
Right.
And then bake them.
I like that style. I went to the GF's Thanksgiving yesterday, and she had an aunt who made it with like sweet potatoes mashed with a jumbo marshmallow fried in the middle, and it was on top of a bed of like grilled pineapple.
Oh man,
fabulous! Never had anything like that.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, that sounds pretty good. But
I just gained 5 pounds just listening to all this.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Good stuff.
Now, hopefully, everybody out there had a great Thanksgiving.
If you didn't, you enjoyed this conversation.
Exactly. It wouldn't be the V Show without a food conversation. Let's just be real. Obviously, it's a jam-packed weekend around here. You've got, and this is the second time now, I think, this season that UK and U of L playing about the same time in basketball. Which kills my Twitter timeline when I'm trying to keep track of things. You have UK playing tonight against UAB. I believe you'll be on the call for that one, as always. And then we have... I think we just lost. Did Mike just go out?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was just waiting for you to finish. I've learned a long time ago, never jump in on Bob.
Okay, there you go. I've learned that.
It's fair. I've tried, and it's just like, forget about it. I mean, it's you want to take the charge, maybe draw the flat foul, but I mean, you'll just get truck sick.
He'll give you the Heisman.
Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious. Did you were you guys watching the Falcons and Saints?
No.
Last night? There was a.
I think Matt Ryan has to either retire or give that man his Twitter account. One of the two. He threw.
He threw a ball. I forgot who the lineman was. It wasn't Sheldon Rankins. It was this like undrafted guy. But he palmed it one hand. So it's running it back, and Matt Ryan tries to tackle him, and absolutely he just. I mean, with one arm, throw. Yeah, basically one forearm shivved him into like the fourth row. It was incredible.
Did you guys watch the tail end of the Lions and the Bears?
Yes.
That young fellow that got his first start, Blau, I think you call, is pronounced, for the Lions, played really well to the end. Then he got backed up on 8-1. He didn't get rid of it and lost about 15. Then he had to throw Hail Mary. But he's a tough little guy.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, he was Mr. Jeff Brohm's quarterback last year at Purdue.
Oh, was it? I didn't know
where
he was from.
So, obviously, he's had some good teaching, but... yeah, I watched a little bit of NFL. I didn't watch all the Saints-Falcons game, but yeah, that's one of the five nastiest stiff arms I think I've ever seen in an NFL game. Matt Ryan probably is contemplating his future after yesterday, just a little bit.
Well, last night we watched part of The Irishman on Netflix, which has got all the main players that you would think in an Italian movie. You know, I mean, you name them, Pacino. I mean, it's really good stuff. But it's so long, I could only watch half. Now, do you get Netflix?
I do, and unfortunately, I have a list of like 150 things that I'm like, I can't wait to watch that, and then I never get around to watching them. And
The Irishman is worth watching if you can do the 3 hours. If not, we split it, and we're going to pick it back up probably tomorrow. But it's pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it never fails. I'll end up firing up Netflix, and then I'll watch something that I've already seen before so that I don't have to pay attention to it. It's just background noise as I fall asleep or something.
Oh, that's not good. For $14 a month, that ain't good.
That's what I pay for. And then Hulu on top of it, so I'm getting really good value out of those. So we got the two basketball games tonight, and then obviously we've got the big game tomorrow, the Governor's Cup, which is where we'll start off today. Right now, UK, depending on which book you go to, is a 3 or 3.5 point favorite. So Vegas is essentially considering it a push if it was on a neutral field. The road team has won the last three games in this series. And Kentucky, obviously, last year went on the road to Cardinal Stadium, destroyed Louisville in a game that everybody pretty much expected was going to happen after a disastrous season. You go in there, you humiliate them 56-10, and then you come into this season. UK is expecting a bit of a letdown based on how much talent they lost. UofL is expecting it to be first year of a rebuild. And instead, you get a UofL team that is playing really well. They're going to a bowl game. They're 7-4. You've got Kentucky that loses their quarterback. Looks like the season's fallen off the rails. They put Lynn Bowden in at quarterback.
Lost their backup, too.
Yep, lost the backup quarterback. Young secondary with no returning experience, and they've rebounded, put the season back on track. They're sitting at 6-5. They're going bowling now. This is as close of a UK UofL game that I can remember probably since before Lamar, because the last two games have not been competitive. The Lamar Steven Johnson game wasn't expected to be competitive, because Lamar was, you know, in the process of winning his Heisman, and Kentucky goes in and wins that game thanks to a fumble, if you want to call it that. I still don't know to this day whether I believe it was a fumble or not, but I'll take it. I think for the neutral fan and for people that cover the game, it's great when it's competitive like this. For me, it's nerve-wracking because I don't want to go in there tomorrow and be in that press box and see us lose and have to listen to all the UofL media with, you know, I don't know if you've. I know you call the games. I don't know if you've ever been up in the press box for a football game.
I have,
of that magnitude. You're not allowed to cheer in the press box.
That's correct.
But you can tell when that road team's winning.
Yeah.
You can hear some snickers and hear some things, and it just irritates you.
Well, I think the game. I think the number's a fair number, home field advantage number. I think both teams are pretty evenly matched in many categories. Some categories one has an advantage over the other. But this is the kind of game you want at the end of the year. Okay, this is what you're playing for. You don't want, as a coach, I don't think you want to see a game that's perceived to be a blowout. That's against your rival. That's hard to motivate these young fellas. You want to come down to this ball game and have it be meaningful and have it, everybody plugged in and ready to play, and you're going to get a good indication of the last game of the year where you are. You've played all year long to develop and improve and make the process work, and this is a good indication of where both teams are at this point. Now, given injuries and all this and that, schedules, you could debate that all day long, but this game will, I think, get down to a game in the trenches. I really do.
Yeah, and we were speaking of debate all day long. We had a nice little hearty debate with
Dr. Doom.
Hold on. I need to do the V Show thing. State your business.
It's Terry Johnson. He's going to be joining you guys in a second, but I told him we should probably make sure the microphone works before we do that.
I am in the back due to technical difficulties right now.
You're in the bullpen. We're calling you here in just a second. I'm probably getting taken off the mound. I said we're calling you out of the bullpen in just a second. I'll probably be pulled very quickly in the start.
Oh, no. You got this covered. You know, you're Mariano in the ninth. I got you.
There we go. Sorry, somebody comes in. I got to keep the traditions going here, man.
For the record, by the way, because there's some betting lines. People were wondering who was going to be Mike One. And even though you're on Mike Two, it's Jason Entz in the captain's chair tonight.
Hey, I will gladly concede to Mr. Mike Pratt.
There was some action going on and behind the scenes, and you were the morning line favorite.
But
did I go off as the favorite? Did somebody come in late with a big?
No, it was you the whole time.
Okay.
He just moved, Nikki. He just moved right into the Bob's seat, just like it was made for him.
Seriously, he just slid right in there. I see you, buddy.
One of those rare opportunities. I'm not working on a weekday. This is actually the last Black Friday my company's giving us off. They're moving it to where we have to work next year. So.
I'm glad to have you.
I won't say anything beyond that because I want to keep my job. But
there you go. They might be listening.
Exactly. They might not like it, but yeah. But yeah, like you said, it's going to be a close game. And speaking of debates, you know, you, me, and Lachlan McClain, after he got done with the show, we're having a nice hearty debate about schedules, about rankings, et cetera. And I think that's what makes this game so difficult to predict. And I've gone back and forth all week. I've gotten... You know, oh, we're going to blow Louisville out, and then, oh, I don't think we're going to beat them. And now I'm kind of stuck. I don't really know who I would pick right now if I had to choose somebody. I'd probably choose UK just out of fandom. But you have an offense in U of L that likes the big play. They love to throw the ball. They love to run the ball. They're a balanced offense. Special teams drives a lot of what they do with shortened fields, big plays, getting a momentum. You've got a Kentucky defense that wants to keep that offense off the field. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be methodical. They're going to burn clock. They're not going to let you get anything in the return game. And they can't throw the ball very well right now. That's the fact. And weather tomorrow may not be very conducive for that. So there are a lot of strengths against strengths, weaknesses against weaknesses.
But that's what it should be, Jason, at this point in the season.
Yeah.
You don't want a game like last year where you knew Kentucky was going to win big because Louisville was struggling. Well, yeah, but as a fan you do, as a fan of Kentucky, or if it's reversed for U of L. But still, as far as the general public, they like this game. There's going to be a lot of conversation. It has been a lot of conversation about this game, okay? Last year the conversation was just about Petrino's going to last, or isn't he going to last? How much money's owed him? All that garbage, okay? Now you've got people talking about two football teams and how they're matched, as you said, and what's the strengths, what's the weakness, and it brings some. Look at Ohio State and Michigan right now. The same thing is going on up there in Michigan and Ohio State. Ohio State people say, well, we got the best offense and defense combination in the country. And Michigan's trying to figure out, their offense has found out who they were. But their defense, you know, you got to look at that and say, I'm not so sure they're up for playing Ohio State. So, but that's what rivalry games are all about. When you get to basketball at the end of December, you're going to have the same thing about strengths and weaknesses. How much is the home court worth? And how much is the home field worth tomorrow? And I think that's where the spread comes in. I think they're two teams that they don't look alike, but they each have strengths enough to balance this game out. And it could come down to you know, a big play or a big stop. I think for Kentucky, they have to. Gann's got to do some things like he did. And I'm not comparing Vanderbilt and U of L fans. Forget about this. I'm not saying Vanderbilt's U of L. I'm saying against Vanderbilt, he came out with different looks, different formations. I thought that was as good a game plan as he had. Versus a much better Tennessee team, a really good Tennessee defensive team. They've gotten very good. He tried to grind it out, and they were playing eight in the box. And they anticipated a lot, even though Kentucky had 21-13 in first downs against a team that was stacking eight in the box most of the time. Time of possession, 41-18 in favor of Kentucky. Total yards, 327-296 in favor of Kentucky. And they lost. They lost on the last play because a young fella, who's really a good player, made a decision. It didn't work out. Does he flip the ball to Rodriguez or Rose, whoever it is, and they walk in with a touchdown? He tries to keep it and do it himself because he's done so much himself all year. He had that mindset, I can do this, I can do this. Hey, made a bad decision. Young fella, those happen. Games sometimes turn on plays like that. In that game against Tennessee, that particular play turned the game. But you look at the numbers against a good defensive team, not a great, but a good Tennessee defensive team. Kentucky offensively got it done, and they didn't do anything fancy. I hope that Grant opens it up. When he opens it up, puts people out, hit a couple passes, that's going to open things for Bowden. And I like Kentucky's three running backs. I do. And you got to like Louisville's running backs. There's a lot to like about both teams. That's what makes it so interesting. If you're at the game or you're watching it, you're going to be on the edge of your seat, because you don't know exactly what's going to happen because both teams are so similar in some ways.
Agreed. And, you know, that Tennessee game, I don't blame Bowden at all for that play. I still think it wasn't the greatest play call. It was a play we'd run multiple times in that game. Tennessee knew how to play it, and they played it perfectly. They had two guys out there. I don't know if Rodriguez would have gotten to the corner or not, but Bowden saw that there was a guy covering pitch man, so he was kind of in a bad situation. But I think we lost that game, not so much for the offense, but we weren't aggressive enough on defense in the second half, and Garantano was able to sit back there, find guys wide open on soft coverage, and I think that's where Kentucky's going to have to win the game tomorrow, because offensively, obviously, we know Kentucky can run the ball. We know that Louisville struggles to run the ball. I think Kentucky's going to have to bring some pressure on the quarterback for U of L. They're going to have to make him uncomfortable. They're going to have to keep Cunningham in the pocket as well. But I think you need to get back there and get in his face a little bit, because the weather conditions aren't going to be the greatest. If you can get in his face, not let him find guys for 5, 10, 15 yards at a time against soft coverage, and even if it's man-to-man, one-on-one, make him make a throw. Don't let him get comfortable back there. If you do that, especially with how Kentucky is ranked sixth in the country in the fewest plays allowed. And you've seen time to time, you know, young quarterback comes into a game, he's been sitting on the sideline for 10, 15, sometimes 20 minutes of real-time action, not game clock. He comes in and he's itching to go. And if you can force a mistake or two, the way that Kentucky plays offense and limits your number of possessions, one mistake could win this game.
Well, that's what I mentioned earlier, and I think it's going to be a game. A time of possession. If you can keep U of L's offense off the field by grinding it out with your offense and enforce that defense that's questionable for U of L to play long minutes, your point comes into play. Absolutely. But on the other hand, if you let U of L make a big strike, a quick strike, and score and make a big play and turn the momentum, you're going to be in trouble. You've got to keep them. You've got to limit those opportunities I just talked about with what you do when you have the ball, your possession, how long you make U of L's defense stay on the field.
Agreed, and I think that's why it's really important that Kentucky wins the turnover game tomorrow. You don't want to give U of L that short field. You need to
absolutely
limit mistakes.
Not. Yep.
I mean, you look at the numbers. Obviously, Kentucky ranks 11th in the country in rushing. They're going to be going up against the 88th best rush defense. And if you look back over U of L's schedule this season, some of the games.
Oh, but don't let Locke hear you say that. Now. Come on, Jason.
Well, U of L apparently has played like the 28 Yankees. Is that the right year, Nick? The 28 Yankees.
With like Murderers Row.
Played the 28 Yankees.
Whoa! Now I don't want to, you know, put on my red sunglasses here, but we were misquoted all over the text line.
Just about
everyone was saying that we were that Locke was bringing up the idea that the ACC is better than the SEC, and we're not saying that. We're just saying that in terms of who the two teams have played, all in all, top to bottom, Louisville has the tougher schedule. I mean, every single national ranking pretty much has that. Now, not saying, like, the thing was that we're not saying that it's mutually exclusive, that you can't play a better schedule and be in a weaker conference. That's totally fine. But just the way it shook out this year, UK has the weaker schedule. I mean, it's not like a gigantic margin, but it's not enough.
I mean, Locke likes to get those talking points. We all love Locke, and I've known him for years. He loves those talking points and grind them. But it's not, as you said, Nikki, it's not that big a difference to really be a factor. I think both teams are that close together. And I go back to recency. Your dad loves, Bob loves recency. And if you throw UT Martin out and take Tennessee, okay, and or Vanderbilt, and you take Syracuse for U of L, and look at those numbers and see how that shakes out. It might give you a better indication of how this game may shake out.
That's fair.
On both sides.
No, I mean, I feel like that's definitely fair. Yeah, there is something to be gleaned from the bigger picture, I guess, as a whole. But yeah, definitely the recency bias, because I bring up, when you bring up recency, I bring up the Arkansas game. Sure. I mean, that was a team that we can all agree is really, really
not very
down.
Good.
Yeah, really, really down. Got blown out by Western Kentucky, which I feel almost is like it's an insult to Western Kentucky to make it sound, because Western's actually not awful. It's actually one of the better wins on Louisville's schedule. So I'm not taking anything away from the
top. They've had a better season, of all the teams. They've helped themselves and helped U of L schedule.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. But in that game, UK almost lost. But they were also figuring a lot of things out. I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong. I think that was the first game Bowden had the reins, right? I mean,
against.
Yeah, he came in late.
Yeah,
he came in late against South Carolina to get the touchdown.
That's right.
And so, I mean, that was the first time that he was really in the driver's seat. So I'm sure they were sorting a lot of things out. But I feel like, yeah, if you're going by the as a whole, then you can kind of maybe be a little bit pessimistic. And then, yeah, you're right. You do need to look at the more recent picture. But I just. It's not that we're saying that Louisville had a great schedule. It was just that UK kind of had an even weaker one than Louisville. How's that? Can we agree on that?
And it wasn't that far apart.
No, it wasn't that far apart.
It wasn't a 6-point difference in schedules.
It was the biggest one I saw was, it was a little bit more than you might think. It was about 24. It was about 25.
Points?
It was, in terms of strength of schedule.
Oh, okay.
It had Louisville, I think, at 39th and UK at 64th.
Okay.
I think. But I think that was also, as the season went on, I think it was the most recent one. But it's almost a reflection of the power index, I think. It's about a 15 in the FPI. I think I can look these up. UK is about 15 higher than Louisville. So for what it's worth, I mean, Louisville has better record against a better schedule, but UK still is ranked a little bit higher. So it's comparable.
Fair points. And again, that's what makes this game so fun. I do need to clarify something. I'm taking a beating on the text line. I completely misspoke. If I did that, I apologize. I apparently said U of L can't run the ball. I did not mean to say that. That is a complete misnomer because they're extremely good at running ball. I meant they can't stop the run.
Yeah. I was gonna pop on there and be like, wait, what? Because I finally got the computer working again. I got my sound loaded and I have a sound sheet for you. But there was actually a sound bite. We might as well play it right here. Chris Redman was on earlier this week with Pops and talked a little bit about Javian Hawkins and what.
Who's very good at running the ball.
Right. And talked a little bit about what that means if the Cards can establish that run earlier. And this was earlier in the week on the B-Show.
He's got a lot of speed, and, you know, that all kind of starts up front. You know, you have to be able to push the defensive line back, and, you know, that's where it starts. And, you know, if he can get – you know, every time he comes in, you're like, man, why isn't that guy playing? But then you see the other running back. You know, it's just they're both great. I mean, it's great to have multiple weapons. I think they're both really good. Like I said, I think the offensive line is the key. If they come out and have a good game, that just opens up so much other stuff off of play action that you can do. It's a very similar offense like we were talking about Lamar earlier. If you can set things up with that run with the quarterback in the shotgun, man, it just opens up so many different things you can do. But you have to control the offensive line, and I think that's going to be a key for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, that was Scott Satterfield, obviously talking about.
No, it's Chris Redman. Chris Redman.
I'm sorry. Yep. It's been a long morning. That was Chris Redman talking about U of L's running attack. Very good running attack. Extremely good running attack. And Javian Hawkins, who's run for almost 1,300 yards this season, he's going to be a key for Kentucky to go out there and stop. And Kentucky hasn't faced many running backs of his caliber lately. It's, you know, you look at it's the UT Martin, it's the Vanderbilt. Tennessee didn't even have a great running game. You probably have to go back to Georgia to get a comparable running attack like U of L is going to have.
And that Swift kid's pretty good.
Yeah, he's very good. He's going to be playing good on Sunday.
Yes,
very
he will.
Soon.
Indeed, he will.
Getting paid legally to do so. But, you know, he's a very talented running back. And if you can get the play that you normally get from Kentucky's front seven to at least slow him down, make them grind out drives, and, you know, like you said earlier, not get the big home run play, I think that's where Kentucky is going to be able to thrive. If he's going for 5, 10, 15-yard chunk plays to where it opens up that passing game even more, that's where Kentucky's going to be in trouble.
Could you, and I know we've got to get to break, but you couldn't paint a better picture of one team's strength going against the other team's strength. Kentucky's defense, Louisville's offense. That's strength against strength, man.
And that's where you've got to impose your will.
Yeah, that's the battle. That's the game within the game right there.
Well, we are going to head to a quick commercial break. Before we do, just to remind everybody, it is Governor's Cup week, and for the most coverage, you can keep it locked right here on ESPN Louisville. Tomorrow on 680-1057 at 8 a.m., you're going to have the U of L UK pregame coverage with Patty Ice, who will be in studio. 10 a.m., we'll split coverage. 680, we'll have the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance pregame show with James Strebel. I'll be joining him for parts of that live from Lexington. 93.9 The Ville, we'll have the Coors Light Louisville pregame show with Mark Ennis. And then after the game, as soon as it ends, you can join both stations for postgame. We'll have the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance postgame show with James Strebel. As soon as the game ends, you'll be able to hear live from Mark Stoops. We'll have player sound, and we'll be the first place where you can call in and share your thoughts on the game. If you're a Red fan, you can go over to 93.9 for the Coors Light Louisville postgame show with Mark Ennis. You'll hear live sound over there from Scott Satterfield, Louisville Cardinal player sound, and first place over there to take your calls. Also wanted to let everybody know that it is an awesome day from Barno's. Thanks to George and Barno's. They brought in pizza to the ESPN Louisville studios. I was munching on a little bit of it, just kind of killing my diet, just a tad more after Thanksgiving. They do have an awesome Black Friday special going on today, and it's only today. If you purchase a $50 Barno's gift card, you'll get a $20 gift card for free. That, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a good deal to me. That's 40% extra for doing nothing, just going in and getting a gift card today.
That's good math.
Exactly. That's it. I was very good at math. I did that on the fly, too.
Yeah. That's no abacus in the studio, I can confirm.
Exactly. That's at all area Barno's. Also, and this is really big, UK and U of L fans, first of all, it's Christmas season. Go do something nice. Second of all, get some nice memorabilia. If you bring a toy to any area Barno's today or tomorrow, you're entered for your choice of a signed Lamar Jackson Baltimore Ravens jersey or a signed Benny Snell Pittsburgh Steelers jersey.
That's pretty cool.
I saw photos of them. I wouldn't mind having either one of them. I'm a UK guy, but I even respect and like what Lamar's doing.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
He's terrific.
Best part is, And going with the tradition of V Foundation and V Show, all the donations go to St. Jude's pediatric cancer patients. Go brighten a kid's holiday.
Boom.
There you go. Go brighten a kid's holiday. Win a chance to win some stuff and pick up some Barno's while you're there. Barno's pizza. Yeah, it's that good. We'll be right back here on Fast Break Friday on the V Show.
You know who really loves fresh food? Amateur chefs, barbecuers, smorgasborders, snackers, bakers, and throw it in the microwavers. At Kroger, you can get all the fresh you want at a great price with delivery and free pickup. Because we believe in fresh for everyone.
Get the savings you want, too. Our 3-day digital deal sale is happening now through Sunday. Order for delivery or free pickup today. Restrictions apply. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Need a real dispatching solution to manage your team and fleet? RCS Communications CPN Track is your business dispatch solution. One-to-many conversations at the push of a button. Our digital rugged Motorola Solutions two-way radios can handle your dirt and grime at your job site while providing you clearer audio. Call RCS Communications today for a free demo. 1-800-767-7384. Push, talk, dispatch, done. Also visit www.rcs.info.
The Schellers Fitness and Cycling Black Friday sale is going on now, so save on max trainers, treadmills, ellipticals, exercise bikes, and lots more. Take advantage of 24 months no interest financing. Schellers Fitness and Cycling is the number one bicycle and fitness equipment retailer in this region. Four area locations: Veterans Parkway in Clarksville, Middletown next to Willis Klein Lock Shop, St. Matthews next to Target, and in Okolona. You're going to love the local treatment you get from Schellers Fitness and Cycling. Online, schellers.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Hey guys, Yaya again here from Mill & Tony. Holidays are right around the corner, so keep Mill & Tony in mind for all your holiday catering needs. So holler at your girl at 502-742-8210. Save 10% on all catering orders of $150 or more. I'm so good, I'm Italian mother approved. Just ask Darlene.
Hey everybody, Darlene Valvano here. What are you kidding? There's nothing better in this area. Hey, take it from me, and if you don't, tough luck. More for us.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.
Hi, I'm Hannah Gist with Gist Piano Center. Whether it's tuning, moving, storage, appraisals, or complete restoration, we take care of all your piano needs. Try Gist Piano Center, trusted in Kentucky.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way. Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people, River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
My name is Steve Bosco, General Manager of Prodigy Construction. I've been part of the Commonwealth Bank and Trust family since 2016. While other banks can take a simple process and make it complicated, CB&T keeps things simple. They're honest, fair, and transparent. If you're looking for a bank for your business, let me know. I'll take you to lunch with my banker. Having CB&T as a partner is like having a banker in the family.
See more business banking stories at bankerinthefamily.com.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet, continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Fast Break Friday is brought to you by Universal Windows. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every window you buy, you get the next one free. Plus 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows.
still down? All right. Welcome back to Fast Break Friday here on The V Show. This is Jason Entz, co-host of the UK Football and Basketball Postgame Show, filling in for one Bob Valvano. Where is Bob today?
Bowling Green.
Yes.
I'm in Nashville. Nashville.
Yes.
Calling against the team from
calling. Yeah. Calling the Tops game. He might be able to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. But we also, I mean, full disclosure, I mean, people are going to see right through it if we don't tell them. No, we were able to catch up with the ACC Network's Wes Durham and record a little interview and do a Sagarin segment. So the third hour will contain that, but it is taped. I'm sorry, everyone. It is not live. I feel like people would be kind of like, hey, wait a minute. Where's Bobby V?
You could fool him.
No.
Not anymore.
No, definitely not. Definitely. All right, I'm going to get back in there, and I'm going to kick the living bejesus out of that microphone until it works, or it's broken.
This is entertaining.
Yeah. No,
I'm getting to see so much of the behind-the-scenes stuff that I hear about, and folks, it is as fun as it sounds on air.
Yeah, it's something, bud. It's something.
That game will be at 5 o'clock, and obviously we'll have post-game coverage here on 93.9 The Ville, sister station, as soon as that game ends. Going to get to some texts on the UPS Jobs text line real quick, 437-9680. Some good texts coming in on Locke at the end of his show, but to our discussion that we were having in PJ, we'll get your thoughts here on this in a moment. Stuffing and dressing are two different things. I agree. Stuffing's good, dressing's not. Another text says it's called dressing. It's not stuffing. Dressing is the correct term. So I think we're going to have a Fan Outfitters
dressing.
Twitter poll on this one.
Dressing. I agree with dressing. What about you, Perrin?
Well, you can't.
I don't think we can hear Perrin right now, but
Mike.
Still Pratt's Mike. There we go.
We're still working on this microphone, ladies and gentlemen, but I call it dressing, and then my mom would take the stuff out the turkey, and she would call it the dressings and put it on the stuffing.
Now I'm just confused.
I don't know. That's what I always thought it was.
Oh, you put it all in the turkey.
Yeah.
You put it all in. Mix it up, let it sit in the turkey, and go with it.
Yeah, and that's what I did. So I always called it dressing because I feel like stuffing and dressing kind of went together, so I just called it all dressing all the time. So
Fair enough. Another text. This is for Nick. Nick was talking about he makes an everything sandwich, everything leftover sandwich where you put all the leftovers on bread. Nick, take a loaf of fresh round bread, cut it in half, fill it with leftover antipasto, wrap tightly in foil, and put a brick on it for a day or two to compact it. Called Mifoletta, it's Sicilian, and it's excellent. Nick's drooling right now.
Sicilian, that's a little out of your lane, though, Nicky.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're spicy, those people. you know, across the Sicilian.
Another texture says, stuffing is cooked inside of the turkey, and dressing is cooked outside of the turkey. Again, I do apologize. I'm still getting some runs. People saying that I apparently misspoke and said UofL can't run the ball, which is not the case. Obviously, they can. Texter said you three can run for 100 yards on us. Look, I'll let Pratt and Nick go for 150 each. I'll get in front and block. My knee can't handle trying to run for 100 right now. So you can keep the text coming in on the UPS Jobs text line, 437-9680. Another texter says, it's not stuffing, it's pronounced stuffin'. Fair enough. Obviously, we're getting into some talk for the Governor's Cup tomorrow, and we bring Perrin Johnson in here momentarily, who's got a nice bottle of wine with him and a couple cups, which I'm assuming means we're going to be having a couple sips later this afternoon for some of Perrin Johnson's famous wine tasting. We actually had our bocce event out at the Kentucky Castle to benefit Kentucky and a Friends of V. You can find info on that at kfov.org. We had a fun bocce event, and afterwards we're all sitting in the bar there at the castle, and Perrin Johnson's regaling us with tales of wine and just breaking them down like I'd break down soccer matches. I have no clue what he's talking about, but he definitely sounds like he knows it. And one of our friends gives him the warmest bottle of wine I have ever felt in my life. It had to have been about 200 degrees. Did you ever get it chilled down enough to actually enjoy that wine?
So I did, and he made it at home. And it was a Cabernet. It was amazing. I had a cigar with it. I smoked a Cohiba with it too. And it was unbelievably great. And I opened it up with my neighbor and I told them the scenario, the whole thing. And they couldn't get over how good it tasted. So I don't know if we did some extra fermenting in his car that day when it was out there in the bocce event. But it came out perfectly.
We need to get you another bottle so you can compare the two.
I mean, whatever you guys want to do. But yes, today I did bring in some Malbec because it's nice, full body, and it fits the weather. So yes,
is that what you'll be drinking tomorrow during the UK U of L game?
More than likely, yeah, I'd say so. I might start with a mimosa to get the day going.
Andy Sweeney, state your business.
Pizza. His business is pizza. I see it in his hand.
Where's Nick at?
Doing what you normally do at 301.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I finally get to witness the fun. Nick is down here working. I'm not finishing that statement. I'm not making the mixtape.
Let's ask Perrin, because football's tomorrow, but U of L and UK have basketball games today. How about Western and U of L? Give us a little recap. Western, a lot of people don't know that, but the basic kid. The big kid for Western, he's a pro.
Yeah,
he's going to be a high pick.
He's a stud of a player. I mean, he was a kid that came to school a year early, so this is technically supposed to be his freshman year. He can put it on the deck a little bit. He's 6'11". He can shoot it a little bit, but at the end of the day, he makes his money in putting the ball in the cup and getting into the paint. And I'm really eager to see this matchup between Western. Might not win this game. But I want to see this matchup with Stephen Enoch and Malik Williams. And I don't know if they'll get to Aiden Ngaham in this game because he can play. And he's on everybody's mock draft going in the lottery.
Who is that?
The Basie kid.
Oh, yeah.
So Charles is a hell of a player. So now I want to see the usage. I want to see what Coach Stansbury, who's a Kentucky guy, he's from Campbellsville and worked his way up through the ranks. I want to see what he's going to do to put Charles in situations to be successful. And this is a great matchup for Stephen Enoch because at the end of the day, Stephen's not really in the first round draft. So if you want to prove yourself night in and night out, this is where you're going to make your money right here in a game like this. You're going to make you some money if you play good against this kid because everybody loves this kid and what his potential is.
And I think for me, looking at the stats and everything, Darius Perry obviously has done really well at the point guard position this season, stepping in. Averaging over 6 assists per game, averaging less than 2 turnovers per game. But Western's predicated on getting the ball away from you. They're averaging almost 7 steals a game. They block 5 shots. How important is it going to be that he continues that play, keeps the offense running, and keeps Western from getting out and getting easy baskets?
Well, for me, I think it's a thing of this. Western, there's a lot of schools that have beat smaller schools. I mean, you saw Bowling Green beat Cincinnati not too long ago. I think it was last week. So Kentucky had their struggles with Evansville. Louisville had their struggles with Akron recently.
I think Duke lost to somebody kind of low down there too recently.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of teams are going through these things where they can't, guys aren't being able to score. You know, Duke's problem is when you watch that Stephen F. Austin game, what blew me away was a mind-boggling stat to me. Duke made more three-pointers than Stephen F. Austin. Stephen F. Austin took 20 more shot attempts than Duke. So that means you can't manufacture any offense. Now, how many times have you seen a Coach K team that can't manufacture enough offense to beat somebody? And we're not talking about another ACC opponent. We're talking about Stephen F. Austin. You couldn't score enough points to beat Stephen F. Austin, and you had 22 turnovers? That's scary. And I don't know what they're going to do, and they're going to have to fix that because they got a lot of – they got a lot of holes in that boat, and they're trying to roll downstream, and it's not going to work for them.
And that's not a one-time thing either. You go back to the game against Kansas earlier in the season where they force, I think it was like 28
turnovers. No. 28 turnovers by Kansas, 11 steals by Duke. Kansas turned it over themselves.
Okay, fair enough.
That's 16, 17 unforced errors. Kansas, in my mind, up there, had the best talent of all four teams.
And Duke still barely won. And you think with that many turnovers, Duke should have won by double figures.
Yes, but Duke's problem is a little bit what Perrin said is they got one kid that plays with his back to the basket. The paint is really good. Vernon Carey, really good player. The rest of it is all on the perimeter, okay? Rest of it's all on the perimeter, and you live and die with the tray sometimes. And, you know, we all complain and bitch when you don't make one, okay? But you got to find a happy medium, right, Perrin? You got to be able to find the right amount to fit your team. And I watched part of that Duke deal with Stephen F. Austin. Reminded me of Kentucky's game with Evansville. They were just going through the motions. They had no hop to their step, very slow to react, and which is unusual at home for both teams, Kentucky yes. and Duke. But you're going to lose to a team, you know, the great equalizer in college basketball now is a three-point play.
Yes, it is.
And that if you're not – and if you're getting three-point shot opportunities off your original misses, mm-hmm. think about that. If you're getting offensive rebounds and kicking it out for additional threes and you're making some, you've negated a lot of talent advantage.
Yeah.
You've let the mid-major, the low-major back in the ballgame. They're going to hang around because of that.
100%. You know, when you look at that Evansville game, and this is what my problem was with Kentucky in that Evansville game. Nick Richards, I don't know, and forgive me when I say this, I don't know what the hell E.J. Montgomery did all summer. I don't know what the hell Nick Richards did all summer.
It wasn't the same thing.
But, you know, when you look at last year's Kentucky team, if you're a Kentucky fan, E.J. Montgomery wasn't beating people because he was just that much more skilled than them. He was playing hard. And this year I haven't seen him play as hard as he did last year, in my opinion.
Agreed.
He played hard, and he knew he was going to be an energy guy. I'm going to create things and opportunities with my effort, and he did that last year. And then he went to the draft, I feel like, and got feedback. And I could be wrong, but I feel like just watching him play, he's almost like he's too cool out there. And it kind of annoys me a little bit.
Well, the feedback he got wasn't good.
It had to be. It couldn't have been.
Yeah, no, it was second rounder.
I mean, so for me now, I don't understand how that doesn't motivate you to come back in the gym every day. And I'm not saying he didn't work, but what I'm saying is he didn't work on the right things. Like, perfect example, with Jason Kidd, with Vince Carter, and Richard Jefferson, none of those guys could shoot when they came to the league. They worked on there and they got better at that. Like, I don't know what he was told he needed to work on. And, you know, it's just like Montrezl Harrell. He came back to Louisville his junior year and would say, okay, I need to add a jump shot to my repertoire. When you watch the Clippers play, he takes no jump shots. I mean, the only shot he takes outside the lane is a free throw. So guys get feedback and work on the wrong thing. So when you look at Nate Sestina playing next to Nick Richards, Nate's a guy that's going to have to guard guys that can put the ball on the deck a little bit. That's what happened in the Evansville game. So he didn't have a guy that, if he played with P.J. Washington, he would have been fine, Nate Sestina. But, like, Evansville kept taking him off the bounce. And Walter McCarty picked up on that as a staff, and they did a great job of film work.
Yeah, and
well, to what you're saying is happened was true.
Yeah.
But the reason it happened against Michigan State, they pressured the ball.
Yes.
They rotated. They came out. They built out on the offside when the ball was swung, mm-hmm. and Michigan State swung it. Cassius Winston kicked. So they had to build out. They were there on the catch.
Yes.
Against Evansville, they didn't get there. So probably two catches later, yeah. You know, they you're going to get exposed if you're Sestina,
yeah.
if you can't get help from your teammates.
And
that's what you said about PJ.
And they were too cool.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
They were cool in that Evansville game.
No, you're right. That's spot on.
And so it's frustrating. The frustrating part about that, if you're a fan watching that, is I don't think a lot of those guys Nick Richards and the guys that have been there, the Ashton Hagans of the world, and the E.J. Montgomery's of the world, you should know what's on your chest as a target. And you should understand that you got to punch Evansville in the mouth right away. Well, we got to put them in their place. And then, yeah, they'll make a run, but we got to put them in their place. And that's what annoyed you to watch that Evansville game. They never put them in their place. And by the time you shoot a couple shots, Mr. Pratt, you know how that goes. The rim just gets bigger, it gets bigger, and it gets bigger.
Once you see it going. Yeah, yeah.
And there was never a point in that Evansville game where you got a sense of urgency from Kentucky, it seemed like.
Well, they didn't have any hop to their step, guys. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
It's not a hard game, is it?
No, not at all.
As parents, you got to come out, and you got to punch a guy, and he's going to punch you back, and you got to get up, and you get the last punch in, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And that's what the game's all about. The skills come from all that, and some guys have more skills, but we have seen, I know you have, Parent, and I've played against and have seen guys with not as much talent as others,
yeah.
but they're out there playing every possession, every pass they're playing.
Because they know that's the only way they can be in that game.
Correct. Correct. And getting back to Western, we wanted to get into Western. I don't know if we need a break right now, Nikki, or not, but you got Bassey is 9 rebounds a game,
yes.
and almost 2 blocks. But the kid Hollingsworth, he's from Lexington.
Yeah, he went to I forget the name. Was it Dunbar?
Dunbar.
Yes, he's a player.
He is a nice player.
Yes,
and he leads them at 3.5 assists a game. He's going to be a handful.
Yes, he carried them in the NIT last year.
Yes, he did. Indeed,
he's a stud. I like watching him playing. You know, he has some grit to him. He's got some dog to him. He doesn't mind going and get something out of the mud and pulling it out of there. He's gonna play hard. And plus, You know, local kids always want to prove to the UKs and the U of L's of the world, you guys should offer me a scholarship. So he's going to be trying to put that thing up today, too. So I'm eager to see that against Jordan Warwer, who wants to be a number one first round pick. So
who's really talented.
Yeah.
He's so, really I mean, good player.
So
now, Western's got four guys that shoot 37% or more from beyond the arc. Four, 37 or more. So we talked just a while ago about the great equalizer in college basketball.
Yes.
Is that three-pointer, particularly the one off a miss. So if Bassey can keep it alive, kick it out, this is a team can knock it down. This is a team that can stay close to a lot of people.
Yeah, and then and the thing about that, would you say that when you have that many guys that can shoot the ball like that, that allows Charles Bassey enough space to operate and do what he does down
Indeed.
The block.
And that's why it's really important for Louisville to win the rebounding, because you do not want to give them second chances to hit another three. So how many times do you see a guy grabs a rebound, kicks it open to a wide-open three-point shooter?
Oh, I mean, that's killer. That's killer. I mean, that's really hard. So I think it'll be a good matchup. I think Rick Stansbury's done a really nice job. And, you know, he did it. He started at Mississippi State, was young, and cut his teeth and made some mistakes.
Yeah.
And then he got them really, really good. Okay. And then he got sideways and decided to leave the AD. But I think down at Western, he's put together a good ball club. That's not. You know, being in that slot, nothing against Western, but being in that mid-major sometimes mm-hmm. is a tough spot. And I think Stansbury's done a terrific job.
No, I mean, Charles Bassey was a consensus top 15, top 20 kid in the country. And he convinced him to come to Western and skip his senior year. He was going to be a McDonald's All-American. He's going to get all the accolades in the world. He decided to go to school early, and it's done him a great service. Now he's averaging 16 points a game and 9 rebounds, and he's only playing like 28, 29 minutes. So when you talk about a kid like that playing not that many minutes, he's going to definitely do a great job and see what's going on with him. I'm excited about it as well. I'm excited to see this game tonight.
And hey, you know, I know some U of L fans are nervous. Vegas isn't nervous. They got you guys an 11-point favorite in this one.
Yeah.
So spread's pretty big. And this is a just mind-boggling stat that I saw the other day. In their history, one of the five best programs in the country, I think we can all agree U of L is, they've been ranked number one in season less than 5 weeks in their entire history. That's what's on the line this week is top ranking.
We're going to a break. You played. You've heard coaches. You know what Rick Stansbury's telling these guys today and last night. Mm-hmm. Who is Evansville? Who is Stephen F. Austin?
Yes.
Who is right down to, somebody beat Michigan State. He's trying to tell them that it's possible.
Yes.
And that's what he is selling prior to the game.
Yeah, so you got to shock the world, and you got to have that mentality. Those guys are going to come in there with a chip on their shoulder like no other tonight. It might not work in their results, but those first 15 minutes of that game are so important tonight.
Should be a good game. This is hour one of the V Show and Fast Break Friday. We'll be back for hour number two right after this break.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.